Chapter 22, A Bright Golden Haze. One of the prominent facets of life in the millennium is also one of the most elusive aspects for us to understand. The glory of God will fill the earth. I just wonder if, during our present state, we can ever really grasp this colossal millennial truth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. Blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Psalm chapter 72, verse 19. The Bible records instances down through time when the glory and presence of divinity were briefly exposed. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of His loins even downward, fire, and from His loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 2. These visitations often resulted in a shattering emotional experience for the humans witnessing them. People fell on their faces in fear when an angel, a mere messenger of God, appeared. The glory will blind enemy soldiers and horses during Earth's climatic battle. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse of the armies that contend against Jerusalem with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 4. Human beings in their present state can't tolerate proximity to this glory. In Exodus 3, Moses once saw God's glory as a burning bush. At other times, in Exodus 13, His glory appeared as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When the Ark of the Covenant was foolishly opened, thousands perished through the exposure to the presence of God. See 1 Emmanuel chapter 6. When Moses came down from that mountain meeting with God, his being was charged with radiated glory. Just from Moses' nearness to it, his face had to be veiled because of an unbearable incandescence. And the glory immobilized the Jews when it filled a traveling tabernacle. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled with the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. In the New Testament, Peter wanted to build three monuments when Jesus appeared in his glorified state with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. See Matthew chapter 17. The glory seems to blow fuses in our present emotional network. Quite often, contact with the glory caused Bible personalities to faint from awe or fear. On the road to Damascus, Paul was left blinded and trembling from the light from heaven and the voice of Jesus. See Acts chapter 9. After we are remanufactured at the resurrection, our bodies will then be capable of rejoicing in the literal presence of His glory. That glory can destroy the wicked, but causes the righteous to rejoice. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm chapter 24, verse 9 through 10. The Bible tells us that God displays certain of His glories for our benefit. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. Throughout nature, we find hints of His glory, like road signs pointing toward the full voltage millennial presence of God. Let's look at a few of these signs we now experience in rare moments, and then imagine these amplified during every millennial hour, never again to be just fleeting thrills. Now we get tiny hints, like morning sunshine on a tiny flower, the sight of a rainbow during an incredible sunset, the smell of springtime with the sound of a bird song and the sound of rolling thunder and warm summer rain. In the millennium, these will be no longer be the unusual, the expectation, but the norm. The Bible says, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." Psalm chapter 72, verse 6. When His glory comes to stay, it will bring an ecstasy so intense that we will need to have glorified bodies just to survive. Think of it, the glory of God filling the earth. Are you ready for that? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This bright golden haze of the Lord's presence will bring an indescribable sense of well-being. No wonder the millennium will be punctuated with laughter, praise, and dancing. When Jesus came to earth for those 33 incredible years, He did mighty works and His glory was present wherever He was. In the millennium, His glory won't be confined to the spot where He stands. In that day, His glory will permeate the entire planet. The singing hills. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm chapter 47, verse 7. We've all felt the mysterious rousing of expectancy when we sing the song, "The King is Coming." If just our anticipation can excite such a great emotional charge, imagine the wallop we will experience when we sing, "The King is Here." Have you secretly wondered if it might get a little boring, having so much praise time after we are with the Lord? There is nothing more dominant in millennial prophecy than its record of explosive, reverberating enthusiasm for praise. Believe me, the millennium is going to be gloriously noisy. Our reserved emotions will melt, and we will break into full-throated adoration. Those of us who can't carry a tune will delight in our new millennial voices. There will be laughter, twirling people, clapping hands, and loud hosannas. Some of us staid Christians will have to abandon our wooden concept of worship. We have rationalized our spiritual inhibitions by saying we want to do things decently and in order, but the Bible tells us. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 13. That doesn't sound too solemn and pompous. Enthusiastic worship neither embraces nor makes the Lord nervous, as it does some people. In fact, everything in creation cuts loose: the stars, the ground, the sea, the fields, and the trees will erupt in praise. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar. Let the field be joyful. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. Psalm chapter 96, verse 11 through 13. What happens when rock stars come to town? Pandemonium, shrieks, torn clothing, and even destruction. That's what happens. Emotional madness descends, which I believe is a demonic counterfeit of the coming praise and worship of the Lord. Some shrug their shoulders at the sick frenzies at rock concerts, yet these same people are horrified if someone says, "Amen," out loud in Sunday service. Watch the crowd at a football game. People really let their emotions take off when the home team scores. We jump to our feet, flail our arms, and scream. Don't worry about the drink we spilled down that fellow's neck. We won! A bit of madness? Not necessarily. It's just human emotion being released for a few seconds, but for a far lesser occasion than the coming of the King. Have you ever watched children run and leap when daddy comes home after a trip? Kids hopping and shouting before the Christmas tree? The enthusiastic embrace when lovers meet? Sure you have, but they're just transitory thrills, like fragile bubbles of joy, which we enjoy during this lifetime. Soon, These surges of delight won't be fleeting exceptions, but a permanent state. Do you wonder about the reason for the high level of millennial emotions? The answer lies in the glorious presence of our Bridegroom. At every glance from Jesus, our passions will peak. Look at these passages from the Song of Solomon that prophetically describe the attraction between us, the bride, and Jesus, the Bridegroom. For thy love is better than wine. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 12 and 16, chapter 4, verse 3 and 6. Thou art all fair, my love. Thou hast ravished my heart. How fair is thy love! How much better is thy love than wine! Thy lips drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7, 9, and 11. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10 through 16. How intimate is this revelation of our own millennial relationship with our glorious Bridegroom? If this promise doesn't set your heart to racing, then I dare you to read it again. No wonder everything comes unglued with joy in the millennium. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. How could the hills not sing and the trees not clap? How could our feet do anything but dance, and the little animals do anything but leap at the very sight of him? The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 and 2. But how long can such mighty ecstasy last? It will be unending. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Psalm chapter 45, verse 17. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 18 and 19. Oh no, the love affair between Jesus and his bride won't be some transitory romance. It will blossom and soar as our understanding and our capacities are enlarged. It will take us centuries to fathom his glorious delights. The fragrance and the intensity of our love will spiral higher through all the ages of his glory to come.